This is a book study on Proverbs. Tonight we're considering the instructions from Proverbs concerning sexuality. Solomon demands that the youth attend to a vital subject. My son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear to mine understanding. Proverbs 5, verse number 1. Use godly discrimination when it comes to illicit sex. Retain this knowledge in order to give a wise, discreet, and intelligent reply to sexual allurement. What good advice. Rehearse what you say and what you do when you encounter the sexual enticements of a strange woman. Now we go to the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse number 18. Paul said, flee fornication. Then he adds, every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. I might add, sins against the person that he's involved with, and then, more importantly, sinning against God. Why did Paul write about sexual sins to the church at Corinth anyway? Some of the Corinthian Christians saw no harm in visiting the temple of Aphrodite, where there were 1,000 male and female prostitutes. I've been there. I've seen the statue on top of the Parthenon. Aphrodite simply means the Greek goddess of beauty, love, and carnal pleasure. Here we see the true nature of modern paganism of today. There are modern pagans in the church who see no harm in sleeping around. After all, it's not against the law and everybody's doing it. And most preachers are silent about the subject, and some are even doing it themselves, I'm afraid. The spiritual goddess of Aphrodite is a demon. Demon, this was Greek mythology, but it is a demon that is still operating as that demon did so long ago. The demon Aphrodite is especially pleased with forcible rape, fornication, adultery, homosexuality, lesbianism, bisexualism, and transgender sex. And we're seeing all of that today in our permissive society. The Roman name for Aphrodite is Venus, from which we get the term venereal disease. In Greek mythology, Aphrodite demanded human sacrifices. That demon still does today. We know it as abortion. We know it as human embryonic research today. Here's a picture of the dress of an ancient Middle Eastern prostitute. This is the picture that the young man saw on an eventful evening when he went out at sunset. The woman in the street, the Bible says, depart from her. She's bad news. Dear friends, Proverbs 5, verse 1 and 2, pay attention, close attention to this. My wisdom, listen very closely to the way I see it, learned by actual and costly experience. Now, this is Solomon speaking, and he knew the costs because he had experience. Then you will acquire a taste for good sense if you'll listen. What I tell you will keep you out of trouble. This is from The Message by Eugene Peterson. Stay away from that immoral woman. Proverbs 5 and 6. She staggers down a crooked trail and doesn't even realize where it leads. Now the Bible talks about Solomon looking out his window in the evening. Here's what he saw. Proverbs 7, verse 6 through 20. While I was at the window of my house looking through the curtain, I saw some naive young men, one in particular who liked common sense. He was crossing the street near the house of an immoral woman, strolling down the path by her house. Wasn't he asking for it? It was at twilight. In the evening, as deep darkness fell, the woman approached him, seductively dressed and sly of heart. She's often in the streets, Solomon said, often in the streets and markets, soliciting at every corner. She threw her arms around the young man and kissed him, and with a brazen look in her eyes. Proverbs 5:14. And she said, "I just made my peace offering and fulfilled my vows. You're the one I was looking for. I came out just to find you, and here you are. My bed is spread with beautiful blankets, with colored sheets of Egyptian linen. I perfume my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, come, let's drink our fill of love until the morning. For my husband is not home. He's away on a long trip. He's taken a wallet full of money with him, and he won't return until later this month or until the new moon." Now, the Old Testament has a scripture that describes the peace offering. Let me read it. Leviticus chapter 7, verse number 11. "And this is the law of the sacrifice of the peace offering, which he shall offer unto the Lord. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil, and also unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried. Besides the cakes, he shall offer the offering of leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving and of his peace offering." Verse number 14. "And of it he shall offer one out of the whole oblation for a heave offering unto the Lord. And it shall be the priest that sprinkled the blood of the peace offerings. And the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offering for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that he offered it. He shall not leave any of it until the morning. But if the sacrifice of his offering be a vow or a voluntary offering, it shall be eaten the same day that he offers his sacrifice. On the morrow also, the remainder of it shall be eaten. But the remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day shall be burnt with fire." Proverbs 30, verse number 20. "This is the way of the adulteress. She eats, wipes her mouth, and says, 'I have done nothing.' In other words, I am justified because I have kept my vows to the Lord." Proverbs 30, verse number 21. "Under three things the earth trembles. Under four it cannot bear up. A servant who becomes a king is a servant who becomes a king and a fool that is full of bread." The young man now had eaten, and he was ready for her sacrificial offering. Solomon's observations here. With a woman's justifying and enticing argument, she persuades the young man. With the allurement of her kisses, she leads him to override his conscience and any fear that he might have of being caught. Suddenly, too much for him, he yields and he follows her into the house. Like an ox to the slaughter he goes, as a dog enticed by food into a trap, as a fool offering his hands and feet to the stocks, as a bird rushing into a snare, not knowing that it will cost it its life. Solomon says, "Stay away from the seductive woman. The carnal pleasures that she offers, you must stay away from. Her lips drip honey as a honeycomb. Her mouth is smoother than warm olive oil." Proverbs 5, 3 and 4. "The lips of a seductive woman are oh so sweet. Her sweet soft words are oh so smooth." Again, from the Message by Eugene Peterson. Solomon says, here's the real scoop. Proverbs 5, verse 4 and 5. "But in the end, she is bitter as gall, sharp as a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps lead straight to hell." Stay away from the seductive woman. If one doesn't, the price he will pay will be astronomical. Loss of reputation, one of the prices he pays. Run from her. Don't go near her house, lest you fall into her temptation and lose your honor. Loss of wealth will be another. Proverbs 5:10, strangers will consume your wealth, and someone else will enjoy the fruit of your labor. Then there's the loss of one's health. Proverbs 5:11, in the end, you will groan in anguish when disease, venereal disease, consumes your body. Stay away from the seductive woman, Solomon suggests. The price will be too much to pay. Then comes the loss of one's self-respect. Proverbs 5:12, you will say, how I hate discipline. If only I had ignored all the warnings. Here's the remorse. Oh, why didn't I pay attention to my instructors? I've come to the brink of utter ruin, and now I must face public disgrace. Then comes at last the loss of one's soul. Proverbs 5, verse 22. The evil man is held captive by his own sins. They are ropes that catch and hold him. He will die for lack of self-control. He will be lost because of his great, great foolishness. Any sect act, a man leaves a part of himself when he's involved. He leaves creative life forces behind. We all know what that infers. He also takes some things with him when he leaves the site of that sex act. If he doesn't leave with VD, he'll leave with sordid memories, mental pictures that he will carry for the rest of his life, even after he becomes a committed Christian. I remember a young man that I knew some time ago who told me of the sordid life in which he lived until he came to Christ. This young man was sold out to God. But here's what he told me. Brother Moore, I don't know what to do. I have these mental flashbacks. I have these mental images of all the women that I have been with back in the days when I was in sin. I don't know what to do. I tried to encourage him to just keep his mind filled with the Word of God and be in prayer often and trust God to erase some of these images. But this is what has to be contended with, because they're stored away deeply in one's mind and consciousness that come back at the most inappropriate moment sometimes. Our body, the Bible says, is a temple of the Holy Ghost. Illicit sexual activity defiles the temple of God. That's what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 19. Paul asked, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own, for you're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Your body belongs to God. And to take that body and connect it to a prostitute, an immoral woman, or be involved in an illicit sexual encounter is a defilement against the temple of God, your body. Not only is the individual Christian's body defiled, but the church body is defiled as well when there are immoral activities going on in the church, and most church have them undercover and only can be exposed by the discerning of spirits or a work of the Holy Spirit. Conduct of believers affect and infect the church as well. Unrepentant immorality tolerated in one's life can grieve the Holy Spirit out of one's life. He no longer speaks. The conscience no longer works. It becomes hardened. It simply does not warn of impending danger in the area of immorality. Immorality tolerated in the church will grieve the Holy Spirit out of the church. I'm in many churches where there is no semblance of the presence of God. It is absolutely dead. There is nothing there. One has to wonder what has caused it, whether it is in neglect, prayerlessness. One has to wonder if there has been episodes of immoral activity, perhaps even in the leadership. Now, the Bible talks about the immoral woman in the street, but it also talks about the wife in the home. And the Bible says, delight yourself in her. The rule here would be remain faithful to your wife. Absolutely faithful to one's spouse, one's partner in life. That means stay away from immorality. Stay away from illicit sex outside of marriage. Stay away from pornography. That is the rule. Be faithful in all things to your wife. Proverbs 5 speaks in kind of veiled language here, but I think you'll understand what Solomon is saying. Proverbs 5, verse number 15. Drink water from your own well. That means have sex with your wife. Share your love only with your wife. Why spill the waters of your spring in the streets having sex with other people or just anyone? We know what that means. That's the life forces of a male. You will reserve it for yourselves. Never, never, never share it with strangers. Now that's the rule. Hard and fast, because that is the word of God. Now here's the reward. The wife's love will satisfy you all the days of your life. Proverbs 5, verse 18. Let your wife be a fountain of blessings for you. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. She is a loving deer, a graceful doe. Let her breast or her bosom satisfy you always. May you always be captivated by her love. What a beautiful, beautiful passage. The obvious question is, here in Proverbs 5:20, why would you trade enduring intimacies for cheap thrills with a whore, for dalliance with a promiscuous stranger? Why would you do that? This is the message by Eugene Peterson. Sex is for more than a physical experience. If it were only a physical experience outside of marriage, that would be bad enough. That would be a sin that would send a man to hell unless he repented of that sin. Even good psychobiologists today will tell you that sex is holistic, involving the whole person, body, mind, and spirit. As a wholesome and satisfying sex life and marriage is enriching, it's restful, it is physically and mentally and spiritually blessed to the persons involved. By likewise, illicit sex adversely affects the mental state and the emotions in the exact opposite, producing latent guilt, fear of being caught, fear of getting pregnant or catching a venereal disease. That being true, no wonder emotional problems and depression and anxiety are pandemic today in this promiscuous society of ours, this sex crazed society today that we're living in. Illicit sexual activity destroys society. The pages of history prove that statement 1,000 times over. Just read history. The great empires of history are gone, mostly in part because of decadence, of sexual activity, of of forbidden sexual activity took these nations and these empires down, and God's judged them, and they are no more. Couples cannot violate the marriage bond and the marriage bed without suffering the dire consequences. Infidelity fractures the marriage bond. Jesus taught us that. And it violates the marriage bed, according to St. Paul chapter 7. Man with a woman or another man in a sex act becomes one with that person. The Bible teaches that because it is holistic. One means body, soul, and spirit. That explains perhaps gender frustration today and people wanting sex changes. And it also explains effeminate men, because having sex with a man will change one's personality. Personality, I'm talking about men with men. Man and woman, whether man or woman with an animal, becomes one with that beast. It's called bestiality. Could that be why some people act beastly today and do absolutely indescribable things beyond the scope of human reasoning? This is why God has set limits and prohibitions in His Word against sexual activity with any kind of an animal. Leviticus chapter 18, verse number 3, and Leviticus 20, verse 15, 16 would be your references on that. Now, God designed marriage alone for sexual expression. 1 Corinthians 7, verse number 1 through 6, let me read. Yes, it's good to live a celibate life, but because there is so much sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife, and each woman should have her own husband. The husband shall fulfill his wife's sexual needs, and the wife shall fulfill her husband's needs. The wife gives authority over her body to her husband, and the husband gives authority over his body to his wife. Do not deprive, Paul said, do not deprive each other of sexual relations. Unless you both agree to, refrain from sexual intimacy for a limited period of time so that you can give yourself more completely to prayer and fasting. Afterward, you shall come together again, so that Satan won't be able to tempt you because of your lack of self-control. God sees and knows what we do. Proverbs 15:3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. Jeremiah 16:17, God said, for mine eyes are upon all their ways, and they are not hid from my face, neither is their iniquity hid from mine eyes. Hebrews 4:13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in the sight of God. That includes what men do. But all things are naked and open unto the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. The ultimate condition of wicked men is described for us in Proverbs. His sins ensnare him. Proverbs 5, verse number 22. They bind him like strong cords that cannot be broken. He will die from lack of discipline and instruction. Proverbs 5, 23, part A. In folly, he will go astray and be lost. Proverbs 5, 23, B. This concludes our study on the sexuality as it is described in detail in the book of the Proverbs. I hope you receive some instruction and appreciate this study.